Two personalities debating today's biggest geek topics. This is Project Nerds Versus.
Welcome back to another episode of Versus, only on Project Nerd. I'm one of your hosts, Iggy.
And I'm Tyler, and we are back again post a horrible, terrible, no good Super Bowl. But there were some cool trailers and commercials. What stood out for you, Iggy?
A lot of stuff, I guess, but I'm not being honest because I didn't really watch it. But I don't know. I did check out the movie trailers, which we'll talk about here shortly afterwards. But yes, I'm sorry, Tyler, for you and the rest of our...
Un-American.
The rest of our Kansas City Project Nerd people, I'm sorry that it went that way.
A win for Tom Brady is a loss for America, and I think everyone can agree with that.
That's fair. Well, we are back for another episode of Versus. If you didn't catch us last time, Versus basically puts Tyler and myself against each other in very similar format to the Nerdcast, but hopefully leading to a few more arguments and a little bit more quicker pace. So I guess, I mean, without further ado, why don't we get the ball rolling? Because we do have a lot of big things to talk about, including things from the Super Bowl.
Well, let's get started with probably the trailer that made the biggest splash during the big game. Because, you know, we're not supposed to say Super Bowl. It's the big game. Was the Disney Plus Disney Plus's Marvel television show, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. The trailer was a big deal, and it set the mark for the most watched trailer for a streaming series ever. What are we picking up from the series and the direction it will take, not to mention, will it be as good as it looks? I had to explain to multiple people this is not a movie trailer. This was just going to be a television show. So
right, it kind of looked, I mean, it looked very cinematic, looked almost like a movie trailer. I'm definitely seeing a different pace, a different amount of action than we're seeing from WandaVision so far. Even The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian has its high moments, but this one looks almost like, in a way, a Captain America movie, which is hard to pin down because each of the Captain America movies were very different. I think there's going to be a lot of fast-paced action going on, and I think this is the series to where we're going to see a lot of MCU things kind of intertwine. I got some pretty high hopes for this one.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. Obviously, I'm going to be super curious, obviously, to see what it's about. Zemo's coming back. I saw Sharon Carter's. Sharon Carter's getting another chance to be done right because they really did her dirty in the last couple Captain America movies. It obviously looks like there's a lot of big, like, actual on location set pieces for it, which is a little bit different to some of the other, obviously, Marvel shows. Because if you know anything about behind the scenes for The Mandalorian, almost everything there is filmed on that volume, which is like the projected, like, instantly, like, in real time rendered backgrounds to make them so they can go to different planets while they never leave the soundstage. Versus WandaVision, which is mostly takes place in a sitcom set with three cameras, like, or not really, but really at the same time. But this one, they're all over the world and blowing stuff up and flying around and doing cool stuff. So, I mean, I'm curious to see. I don't want to know too much just because not knowing, I like going back to this where nothing's happened for a while. So I would not be enjoying WandaVision as much as I was if I knew any of the things that had happened so far. So I'm on board with just to jump in as soon as WandaVision finishes, this one starts up and we're in and we're going.
Right. And a good point. It starts up right after WandaVision too. So yeah, I think they're definitely putting a lot of money into it. But I can tell you one series I'm not so sure about. We're going to bring up some HBO Max. We brought it up plenty last time, but we got more to talk about because they did announce their adult targeted animated Scooby-Doo spinoff about Velma. And apparently Mindy Kaling is already cast as Velma. Nobody else has announced yet, so I don't want to get too jumpy, but what's your take on this? And especially on the adult targeted part. And if it works, does it lead to more of our childhood or even our parents' childhood series being turned into something like this?
I mean, here's what I will say. HBO Max already has adult targeted cartoons, and one of them is the best cartoon that's come out in the last 5 years, and it's Harley Quinn. So I'm okay with that. Now, granted, that was part of DC and got moved to HBO Max. Here's the only reason I'm excited. It's being produced by Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Oh, no, sorry. Phil Lord, just like the other one, they're doing a reboot of Clone High. they're doing some other sci-fi series, and then they're doing this one, and it's like adults, they're calling it like Adult Swim-esque, I guess would be the word. I'm okay. A big Adult Swim kind of guy. As far as the people who are actually working on it, we don't know a ton less other than Maiden Kaling. I'm willing to give it a shot based almost entirely just off of Harley Quinn having been good. I don't know how much overlap there is between the people working in DC Animation who's making shows like that and the people making other stuff for HBO Max, but I've always been a fan of adult-themed animation. I love Adult Swim. I love Archer. I love Harley Quinn. I love all that kind of stuff. So, like, I'm on board if it. I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. You do bring up a valuable point in the Harley Quinn piece. That is that should be getting more people's attention for sure. It's a fantastic series, but I don't see much crossing over there. Warner Brothers, you know, or excuse me, DC's always done great stuff with their animated stuff, even in their, you know, movies. Something about this just doesn't feel right for me. I don't know. Maybe it was the bad taste left in the James Gunn live action movies. Sorry, but they had their moments, but for the most part, pretty terrible. And I just don't know where they're going to go with it, especially because of all, maybe it's the cosplay community that has me worried about where they go with the adult targeted Velma stuff.
Listen, if you're worried about Velma being ruined by this cartoon, like that ship has come and gone and set sail a long time ago.
Well, not so much ruined. I don't know if I'm going to invest the time for it. I do appreciate that HBO Max Warner Brothers is not holding back. It feels like every other day they're announcing something new for their service. They are trying to make it worth it. I don't have a lot of high hopes. I will give it a go, and for the same reason as you, but I'm going in much more skeptical.
Fair, but I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it happen. I'm going to let it wash over me, and we'll see what goes on. So speaking of other shows that have been around for an obscenely long time, in a recent interview with SFX magazine, Whoopi Goldberg said that she wants to be the next reincarnation of the Doctor, as in Doctor Who. She said she originally wanted to be the first woman to play the Doctor, which Jodie Whittaker obviously beat her to the claim, but she was still hoping to be cast as the first American to play the character. Should the showrunners consider it? And more importantly, who would you cast as the first American Doctor?
Should the showrunners consider it? No. Listen, not like Whoopi Goldberg, sister act, fantastic. Whoopi Goldberg as the Doctor, I'm not buying it. I'm not in on it. I don't see any reason why she would be a good fit. No reason whatsoever. And you can bring up Star Trek, you can bring up any of that, but I'm just not sold on it. If I'm looking for an American actor to play the Doctor, and I even helped, I prepped this question and I don't even have a great answer for it. I don't know. I think not Whoopi Goldberg, not Whoopi Goldberg. I would have to say honestly, bad answer. I know this isn't a great answer, but one of the things about the Doctor, and I get that, you know, what was it? 10 and 11 were a little more known, but I feel like one of the charms of it, especially with the later cast, has been their lack of being known as huge actors. So sound like a cop answer, but that's what I'm going.
Lack of being known actors on this side of the pond. Jodie right. Whittaker all those people, I would say of all of them, Matt was probably the least known, but even all of them were like, in England, they had been on big shows.
Right. And I meant 9 and 10, not 10 and 11. I'm sorry. You're right. Matt Smith was not. And Peter Capaldi and
was a big deal at one point.
And Jodie Whittaker are both big stage actors, but I don't know. I pass it to you. What's your thoughts on Whoopi Goldberg?
She can do whatever she wants, I guess. I don't know that she would make a great the Doctor. I don't want to be like weird about it, but I don't know that there should be an American Doctor. I'm 100% okay with there being an American Time Lord of some sort, like make another character, but the Doctor is the Doctor and should probably be, he's not American, but he always uses an American accent on the show. Like Captain Jack, is that not enough? Is that not enough for us? So I don't know. Why do we have to take this thing from them? God forbid that we just, let England have this one. God, here's what's going to happen is we're not, they're not going to cast one, or they're going to cancel the show, and some idiot's going to be like, let's do an American reboot of Doctor Who, because that's going to go well. So there's been exactly like one American show that we've stolen that worked out well, and that was The Office, and just by barely by the skin of its teeth, you know. So
That's fair. I don't know. So, okay, if it's just Whoopi Goldberg, does she play the American Time Lord that is interjected into maybe a short spurt for this series?
Sure, go nuts.
All right. Well, let's talk Fantastic Beast, because it's still a thing. I mean, they were doing the third movie, then there was all the Johnny Depp controversy, and he filmed for one day and still gets his full salary. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about director David Yates, who still wants to helm the final two films in the franchise before it wraps. He wants it to go the whole way, and he wants to be a part of it. We talked about the HBO series in the past for Harry Potter. We've talked about it on other podcasts. I don't know if there's room for Fantastic Beasts right now with how poorly the first couple movies done. So I guess I leave it a question to you, Tyler. Harry Potter TV series on HBO Max and nothing else? Or do they try to find redemption in the Fantastic Beast story arc?
I checked out on Fantastic Beasts somewhere around halfway through the first movie, but I'm also not like the target demo for it. I am not a, you know, Potter fanatic, and those movies still made enough movie to warrant their existence, I guess. I don't know. I mean, this is never going to happen, but maybe it's time to just, like, you know, dial back the Potter machine, put it on ice for a couple years, give it the old Spider-Man treatment or the Batman treatment, like put it on ice for a couple years and then start over from scratch again. So I don't know, whatever, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. Anything with Harry Potter name on it's going to make money for a while, at least. The Fantastic Beast movies are just not good. I don't know if it's just the lack of source material and then just like not hiring writers that are doing much with it, but like, they're beautiful. Like, they're cool period pieces. I love like the settings and the clothes. I like all the actors in them. I like the characters they're playing. There are scenes in both of them that are like fun, but as a whole, they're just not interesting.
Yeah.
And they don't capture the feeling of like the Harry Potter universe, other than like they have wands.
No, for sure. I'm with you on this one. This is the Harry Potter movies energy is and entertainment level is just way up here, where Fantastic Beasts was down here. And I saw the first one, saw it in theaters even, gave it a shot, wasn't overly impressed, blind bought the second one on Blu-ray, just thought I'd give it a go for the kids and everything. I don't even think they remember we bought the movie or even watched it, let alone. And the fact that I didn't know was this four or five movies they want to make. And I agree with you. There's nothing about these that screams the entertainment level of Harry Potter. You're right. The fanatics are going to go, it's going to make money. And because of that, we'll see the rest of these, but I just can't get excited about them because the first two movies were flat, just flat. Flatter than any of that. Like, if you were to rank all the movies that are out right now, every single Harry Potter movie would be above those two Fantastic Beasts movies in that universe. Easy.
Yeah. The second one did a little bit better job. They're just also just barely coherent. Like, I've seen the first one all the way through and I'm pretty good at like remembering what I could not still describe to you quite exactly the plot. The Flash is like a kid who gets a thing in him and he does a thing with a thing, but then there's this other plot going on, and then there's a baker guy, and then there's a thing, and then when it's all over, it turns out actually Johnny Depp was the bad guy the whole time, and it's a whatever. I don't know. It just they're just not good.
I remember in the second one, I think he climbs into the suit, or is that in the first one? He climbs into the suitcase and it's that whole like kind of cool world. It's where you kind of mentioned they had some cool scenes, but that for
there's
me
some
is about
really
what
neat scenes. There's like the scenes where they're like chasing animals and like the big buildings with like the columns and like the outfits. I like a lot of it. It's just the story just doesn't do anything for me. So,
all right. Well, we agree on this one. So
let's talk about something cooler. Let's talk about music. Let's talk about some rock music. So we've got the Foo Fighters, Carole King, Tina Turner, Jay-Z, Rage Against the Machine, Chaka Khan, Iron Maiden, Mary J. Blige, the Go-Go's, and a few others. These are all finalists for 2021's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. I listed some pretty amazing candidates there. from a multitude of generations and even genres of music, because let's be clear, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is just a music Hall of Fame at this point. Anyone who tries to get all weird because they're not rock and roll is an idiot and they should shut up. Who's most likely to get in this year? And more importantly, who would you be voting in?
Right. I think the easy answers are your classic ones, right? Your Chaka Khans, your Iron Maiden, Tina Turner. Obviously, I think Tina Turner is like probably your most obvious on here.
Carol King's the most obvious.
Carol King and Tina Turner, I think are the lead. Foo Fighters is probably a good bet. The problem is every one of these ones, I'm a huge fan of Jay-Z, but if anything, I feel like he belongs more in a business Hall of Fame than a rock and roll Hall of Fame. He's just the way he legitimized his career and has turned it into all kinds of businesses as opposed to just a music career. When you really look at it, like, I mean, he had some good albums, but compared to the rest of these, I think his discography is much smaller. Rage Against the Machine, you know, Tyler, how I feel about Rage Against the Machine. One of my favorites all time. Politically, I think they've made a point, a message and all this stuff. I think they belong here too. If I'm putting people in, it's Foo Fighters. I'm pretty much everybody that you've listed. Foo Fighters, Carole King, Tina Turner, Jay-Z, Rage Against the Machine, Chaka Khan, Iron Maiden. Mary J. Blige, I think, can show her worth. The Go-Go's, and probably the others that we didn't even copy over the list because there was so many. I don't know. Is there a limit each year on how many can get in?
I honestly do not know. I don't know. This is something I've never even looked into. I've just every year some people get in, and that's how that works. So
right.
I'm trying to think. I mean, there's some that you didn't even list that are on the list that like I think get in even above any of these, like just from a pure influence standpoint. Devo is a nominee this year.
No.
Devo and Mark Mothersbaugh have been influences to literally everyone who's written a note of music since, you know, the mid 80s. LL Cool J is on the list. I mean, Dionne Warwick is on the list. She's delightful. I think she should just get in for being Dionne Warwick. So it's rough. I would say I would definitely give a vote. This is my mom talking, but I would definitely give a vote to Carole King. I've heard Tapestry from beginning to end more times than I'd like to count. It's a brilliant piece of music. I'm obviously in the bag for Foo Fighters and Iron Maiden and Rage Against the Machine just based on my age and who I am. Like Rage for sure is, if they're not in already, they need to be. Some of these I'm almost amazed they're not in, just, but at the same time, like, you have to get nominated. You have to be, your first commercial recording has to have been at least 25 years ago. I don't know. But then there's the top five artists selected by the public will have a ballot that will then there's a lot to it. I don't know really how it works. I've never really looked into it. It doesn't mean a ton. It just means there's a concert once a year that we get to watch that has other people playing their songs. And then the ones who are still alive get to go on stage and take an award, which is cool. But I mean, there's no one on this list who shouldn't get in.
Right.
Like Kate Bush is also on the list. There's no one on this list who shouldn't get in, but of those bands that I listed, Devo, I would give a vote to. Carole King, I would give a vote to. Foo Fighter, obviously. Maiden, Rage Against the Machine.
See, you just want to keep
those
going.
I can't give them all a vote. If I can only give one, if on the based on the list of nominations I have seen, based on how long they've been around, influence, and just quality of the work, if I could only give one vote out, I would give it to Devo. How about that?
Okay, that's fair.
You only get the entire list. You only get to give one vote.
Since you're putting Devo in, I'm putting Tina Turner in.
Okay, that's fair.
I think Tina Turner's up there towards the top.
I think my second vote goes to Carole King, and my third one goes to Rage Against the Machine.
All right,
but if I only get one, I'm getting Devo.
Let's just put them all in. I mean, 2020 sucked. Let's just make it a huge concert and
make it last
3 or 4 days.
Yeah, just a huge, huge music festival with all these people. Carole King and Rage Against the Machine go on stage together and do.
I love it.
A selection from Tapestry. I'm on board. So no.
Right. All right.
But yes, I would vote for. I would give Devo a vote. Mark Mothersbaugh and Devo need to be in.
Okay. So we're near the end of our big topics here. So we saved this one for last due to the spoilers, but we have to talk about it. Last week's WandaVision. So again, for the next 5 to 7 minutes, spoilers, people. If you have not watched WandaVision, specifically this last episode that aired, don't listen because this is big. But it happened,
Tyler. It's episode 5. It is titled A Very Special Episode. That is the episode of which we are speaking.
All right. So it happened. And a move that some, and we've talked about it, I think, since the Fox purchase. We've talked about it on the Nerdcast and just inside and just talking. But at the very end of that episode of episode 5, Evan Peters, who is known for playing Quicksilver in Fox's X-Men franchise, showed up as Quicksilver. And this is the first official Fox Marvel character to come over to one of these MCU titles. I don't, you made it. So you might dispute me on that. I don't know. You were making a look there.
Here's the thing. He showed up as Pietro Maximoff so far.
Okay. Maybe, okay. Fair.
Cause listen, it's the end of the episode. We get this much. He says one line and she takes a second and then kind of, I have a lot of thoughts on this. Finish your question. And well,
that's basically what it is right there. That's a great, you bring up a point to argue and discuss it because that's the question. What does this mean for not only WandaVision, but the universe as a whole?
I will be the first to say, and I don't say this often, so enjoy it while you can. I do not know. I have some theories, but they're all over the place. Here's the problem. Marvel, I mean, all comic book movies as of late, but specifically Marvel over the last 10 to 15, 20 years has trained their fans to see things, to make seeing everything as meaning something, even the small C-strike, because almost always it has, especially if it's a stinger or the end of an episode, like they find ways to tie all this stuff in. So you immediately just assume and you go down this path of, oh, this is huge. This means this. And now Hugh Jackman is, and all these people are in the multiverse and it's a thing. At the same time, like it could also just be a single throwaway Easter egg of like, hey, sitcoms used to recast people. We're recasting her dead brother that she's now having trouble accepting is dead. Wouldn't it be funny if we used an actor who played him in a different franchise, blah, 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 blah. At the same time, I think it can be that. I think it can be a silly Easter egg that, while also being a slight sort of backdoor introduction into the multiverse. Because obviously we know when this series ends, it is a big lead in into Doctor Strange number 2, which is titled, you know, Multiverse of Madness. We also know from leaks that Spider-Man 3 is going to lean real hard into the multiverse. So like the multiverse is coming. How much it's going to come. Like there was mentions of it in Spider-Man 2 that turned out to be fake, but now we're going to get real ones. So maybe it is, but also, and if it really is him, or maybe she just is, you know, using her crazy powers to pluck someone from an alternate because, you know, an alternate version of her brother. Cause that was Peter Maximoff, whose his sister was a really young little baby girl and not twins. And it wasn't Pietro, it was Peter. And it wasn't from Sokovia, you know, whatever. It's like, because it's the multiverse, you can do what you want. You can get crazy with it. You can get wild with it. We've also learned that from Into the Spider-Verse that fans don't need a primer on it. They can understand alternate dimensions. We get it. Like we're not, you don't have to dumb it down. And so you can just go crazy with it. But I'm not convinced yet that it is as big of a deal as people have said, not to say that it was not a really cool moment. I'm going to wait to see. I need more to happen before I make a final judgment. How about that?
Sure. All right. Well, we're not too far away from more happening, but I'm gonna disagree with you, mainly in part because of what you said with the Doctor Strange part. The idea, the original layout of all this, right, was this series leading right into that movie, and obviously the movie productions have been delayed and things like that. But it was supposed to kind of go hand in hand. I think we talked about it last time that we're seeing the budgets from these shows kind of be considered part of the budgets for the movie because they know they can spend bukus of money on the show because whatever movie it's tied into, they know will make $1 billion, right? So I think it is important for that arc. Whether it leads to bigger things with the Fox and X-Men characters, I think you're right. It's hard to kind of figure that out yet with just that little tease. But I think this is the first sign that shows, because if you look at the other pieces of the episode 5, and again, major spoilers, we are seeing an insane amount of power being done. And they were making it clear because they were like, there's no way that this is this. She's, you know, this is a visual thing. This is whatever. And then it turns out that she's actually like creating their outfits and doing all this stuff. Like she is showing to an extent what the potential of this of Scarlet Witch is, which we know is one of the most powerful characters in the Marvel universe, is likely the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I think out of desire for having her brother there, she has somehow plucked him, like you said, from what I guess we as fans will call the Fox universe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not that. At the same time, like, now we get into like the actual what's actually happened in WandaVision. Like, I think that she's obviously at this point, obviously exercises a great deal of control over the hex. Darcy, I'll use that word, the hex. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that she necessarily was the person who initiated it. Like, obviously she was also starting to just in the first few episodes, just coming to the realization of what was going on. So I think there's a lot more yet to be revealed that we don't know yet. So I'm going to withhold judgment just yet. But it was a cool moment. It was awesome. The whole show's been fun. I'm on board. I'm excited to see what happens next.
Right. Well, the show's been good. That was definitely a part that got me more and more invested. So, well, that is it for our big topics this week. We know there was plenty of other news. So if you want to reach out, let us know what you want to hear us talk about. If you catch something big, you can always ping us on Project Nerd. You can always ping us on Project Nerd and tell us, hey, this is an important topic. But before we go, we've got some quick hits. We're going to just run through some quick, fun things, talk a little bit about them. Not go as deep, but anyways, let's do it.
Fair enough. So if you haven't heard already, Disney pulled the plug on Blue Sky, laid off their, 450 employees. They said they're going to look for roles internally if they can. If you're not familiar with Blue Sky Animation, Blue Sky was a Fox Animation studio for computer animation. They were responsible for the Ice Age movies. What else did they do other than Ice Age?
Nothing. There was some recent success.
Nothing as successful as that. But they had some recent ones that were. I'm trying to think what else they did other than that. Spies in Disguise was their most recent one. The Will Smith with the the pigeon. And there was also a movie they were working on that got killed based on a comic book. And I'm having trouble remembering the name of it, but I was kind of actually excited about it. But, they did that Peanuts movie. They did that Ferdinand movie. They did Horton Hears a Who. Rio was successful. Rio was a big deal. They made Rio. Okay. I'm just trying to, outside of Ice Age, like, they've done a lot of stuff, but you just don't, it's obviously not that much. But Rio was like a $500 million movie, so I'll give them that one. But it sucks. It's, you know, it's the world we live in. And I think I'm surprised that more studios haven't been shut by Disney since the acquisition. I think this might be the first of a lot, so, or consolidation of their Fox property. So we'll see what happens.
So, question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that this was a question. I thought we were just doing the quick hit. Likelihood that Ice Age lives on in the Disney umbrella.
I think it does. You mentioned some other ones too. I don't think the other ones really have a chance, but I think Ice Age has just made too much money.
I mean, I don't know. It's had a TV show. I don't know any, maybe. I would not be surprised in either direction. Maybe that's what Disney throws on the shelf and then for years from now they reboot it or do a TV show on Disney or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Disney Plus. There you go. All right. Well, I think the funniest news this week might have been the lawyer in Texas who accidentally turned on his kitten filter for his webcam just ahead of a trial appearance over Zoom. The video is super awkward. I don't know if you watched it, Tyler, but it's really funny when he basically has to say to the judge, I am not a kitten. I am an actual human. I am present for this trial. And the judge confirms that he realizes that. But I guess a question for you is, if you accidentally left your filter on before we recorded Versus in the future, when we bring video to it, what animal or I guess character are you going to show up as?
I don't know. I've never been good at those things. I never look good at them. Not that I look good on a normal camera either, but I've always been a fan of the ones that draw like a space helmet around you, like a fishbowl or something like that. So let's go with that.
Okay. I think
that make the inside of your mouth look weird, like too many teeth, like shark teeth or something like that.
I'll take it. I think the one that I've played with the most with my daughter is the puppy dog one. So I guess that's the one that would accidentally be stuck there.
Paramount Pictures, in addition to advertising the hell out of their streaming service, did drop the first teaser image for the second Sonic the Hedgehog movie, which is unsurprisingly named Sonic the Hedgehog 2. The two includes two tails for obvious reasons. Are you on board?
I watched the first one with the kids. I'm interested to see what they do with more characters.
It was way better than it had any right to be.
That's okay. That's fair.
Mainly just because of Jim Carrey, but like right. that, I had zero expectations for it. I'm not saying it's a good movie. I'm not saying it's great. I'm barely saying it, but it was better than I expected.
All right, so you're in then?
I mean, I guess I'll watch it.
At this point, we just want to get to the theaters, right?
I'll wait. I'll probably wait till it's on Paramount Plus before I watch it.
All right. So I think it was somewhere around 9 categories that the Academy gave their shortlist for the Oscars. But in terms of geeky news, Birds of Prey actually made the list for 2 of them, hair and makeup, as well as visual effects. I looked at those lists. They're pretty strong. Do you think anything from DC, specifically Birds of Prey? I think only Birds of Prey gets any nominations this year?
No.
Okay. We've had a good run of comic book movies being nominated for stuff, and that's why I think this is interesting, because it might finally put a halt to that.
Yeah, I can't think. I'm trying to think back to Harley Quinn's makeup is not something we hadn't already seen before. The only other character in the show that I can think of makeup that's even remotely interesting would probably be the Victor Zsasz character. And I can't think of a single visual effect that like wowed me.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Some of the fun, like interstitial, like quick cuts and like graphics and stuff. And the flashback stuff was fun, but it wasn't an Academy Award worthy. How about that?
Okay. I'm in with you.
Fair enough. HBO, though, has made a huge announcement. As we know, they're making a live adaptation of The Last of Us video game, and they have cast their Ellie. And for those of you familiar with Game of Thrones, it is Lyanna Mormont herself, Bella Ramsey. How do you feel about it?
I'm okay with this. I'm interested to see what her range is. She was pretty a pretty big shining spot there in Game of Thrones.
She definitely has the attitude for Ellie, I think. I will withhold judgment until I find out who our Joel is, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, perfect. All right.
They both got to be strong for it to work.
Okay. Well, that's it for our quick hits. That's it for Versus, actually. Again, Project Nerds Versus. You can catch us right here on Project Nerd's main podcast channel, PN1. If you're listening to us on Project Nerd, or you're eventually catching us on YouTube or social media or anything like that, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search Project Nerd Podcast for Versus, The Last Word, Project Unreal, I'm Not Famous, the Nerdcast Recast, and all our audio interviews, as well as head on over to projectnerd.com/podcast for more than a dozen fantastic podcasts spread across multiple channels, all from the Project Nerd Podcast Network. That's all I got, Tyler.
Project-nerd.com/podcasts.
There you go. Perfect. All right.
Don't just type it in. But yeah, thanks for joining us. Come back in 2 weeks where we do this again, hopefully with more fighting. But have a good night.